Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the words spoken are not ours, but, Father, that they're yours. And help us to learn, Father, each and every day, of these your words, to make us strong in faith, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and always looking for your kingdom instead of for things of this world, so that when time comes, that we come home, whether it be as individuals or whether the Lord will come to the church. Make us ready to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his name, that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, really give enough time to the study of God's Word and in conversation with Him in prayer, when actually He should be with us all day, every day, and into the night. You know, we should never shut our eyes to him. for his ways and always stand, believing his word is truth. Because you and I, we all know that God does not lie. He cannot lie. If he lied, he wouldn't be God, would he? So you see, it's mankind that walks contrary to this word and not God, not taking it. Now, this evening I'm going to be talking to you here from the 28th chapter in the book of Acts. This is the last chapter of Acts. We've been all the way through it now. We have found one that has lived, as I just have to explain to you. And that was Paul. You say, yeah, but he was an apostle. If you are a born-again child of God, you can walk the same way Paul walked. In fact, you must walk that way. Because that's the only way we're going to make heaven our home. A lot of got it in their mind, well, it really don't matter if I don't go. But I don't believe in all this stuff they're telling us about the lake of fire and all that. God says that's where you're going if you don't make heaven your home. There's no other place. Because you see, the thing about it is, as God is making his steps with us, when we step out of this life individual, if we are a child of God, then we go to be with Jesus. And if we're not, we're going to find ourselves in hell, just like the rich man did. You say, well, that may not be too bad. But you see, that's not the last stop. Because at the end of God, the Lord's 1,000-year reign here on this earth, that 1,000 years he sets up his kingdom, at the end of that will be what the Bible calls the great throne judgment. And at that judgment, all that are not found to be and belong to the family of God will be cast into a lake of fire, along with hell, Satan and all of his demons. Hell itself will be cast into that lake of fire, which the scripture tells us will burn forever. And the worm never dies. And never no way out of that. But remember, God didn't put you there. You put you there. He gave us every chance and made a way for us to make heaven our home. And it's our choice to what we do with it. too many today are making the choice of not wanting to take the time to spend in church and to spend with Him. And then we have those that, yes, they go to church, but they really don't pay attention to what is being taught there, what's being accepted there, and the church itself is on its way to hell. Because it's also teaching and walking contrary to the Word of God. So we are also to make choices to be careful about where we go, to make sure that that word is coming from God's word, not contrary to it, but from it. And that it's not taken out of context and made say what man wanted it to say, but it's left in context saying what God has meant. Did you see? So many of us don't do that, do we? But that's the way we're going to make heaven our home. And it's all to be done through the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've often said, we can't go around Him, over Him, or under Him. We have to go through Him. He is the way for you and I to make heaven our home. He took all of our sins, sickness, diseases, and everything to the cross. He took on death so we wouldn't have to. But yet, we want to walk contrary to Him. You know, if I was out here and pile up a big pile of brush and all, and I set you in the middle and I told you that, you stay in there because I'm going to set this brush on fire, you'd be yelling, screaming, and believing that I was crazy. But you are living your life to make your soul go to a place that is hotter than anything man has made. The Bible tells you. But yet, you trade a few minutes of what you are calling pleasure or fun for an eternity in that lake of fire. That you will regret one out of so bad, and yet there'll be no way out. Now here, as we get back here into Acts, we have found Paul beaten, stoned, and we found him there shipwrecked, and we find him on an island. His troubles are not over yet. And this is all while he is on his way to be investigated by Caesar Augustus. Now, beginning here with verse 1, it says, and when they were escaped, we know that they lost the ship. Part of them made it to shore swimming, part on boards, part of them on parts of the ship itself. But they all escaped safe to the land, as Paul had told them. Because if you remember, as we was reading the scripture, Paul told them that there'd be none of them lost if they done what he was telling them to do. Well, they all did follow his advice. They all made it safe. Now, there in verse 1, it says, and 28, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, when they got to shore, although these were barbarous people, the scripture tells us, they had received them kindly. They've built fires and taken care of them. And Paul, he's building him a fire too. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Nice snake bit by a viper. This viper is one that is deadly. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Because he's snake bit now, among those people there on the island, they're believing that Paul's just going to fall over dead now from this snake bite. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Hadn't done anything to him. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was God. Because he didn't die from that snake bite. Now, he was calling him a God. But we know God is protecting him. And I know there are those of you out there that will hear this message. They'll say, oh, that's just a lot of makeup writing. No. You see, I can share something with you with my life. Most of my living family today knows about it. My children were young, so I don't know whether any of them remember anything about it or not. But my brothers now do. I hadn't been a child of God very long. And I owned a paint company also. That's where I made my living. As I've always told you, I've never taken anything for preaching, money-wise, as far as pay or anything. Made my own living. I had this paint company. Living there in Florida, and the building boom in Florida was just getting going real good at that time, especially where I was at. I was living in Pasco County, working in Pasco and West Pasco County, and also Hernando County, because you see, they were building housing projects at that time. Not just a house, but we had these investors that had come into Florida. They'd buy up so much ground, and then they would build houses on lots, and they'd be as many houses as that piece of ground would hold. And they give that place a name. They had just bought ground in Hernando County, up close to Brooksville. If any of you know where that's at, or if you heard of it. Anyway, they was putting up the first house there. I went up to prime everything. They had been up there and trimmed the sheeting and all on each side of the house. And nobody had cleaned it up. It just laid scattered all out on the yard where it fell. And as I was painting the wall, I stepped back to look, see how things were looking. And I was bit, snake bit. I was a long way from town, from the doctor. And I didn't have a car or my vehicle. My dad had needed my vehicle that day. He drove me to work, and then he went on to his job. I had been bit by a rattlesnake. I had no way out. All I could do was just ask God to help me. Well, I had gotten sick. I was throwing up. There was another contractor come out. He saw me, but he didn't have time to fool with me. And he left. A couple of hours later, another contractor came. He seen things looking just right with me. He came over and asked me, he said, "Tony, what's the matter with you?" I told him and showed him my leg where I'd been bit. And I showed him the snake I had killed. He said, "Well, let's get you to town." So he took me back to town and to the job where my dad worked. And they get me to the doctor. The doctor asked me how long it had been. I told him. The doctor looked at them and looked at me, and he told me, he said, "You know," he said, "there's nothing I can do for you." He said, "For me to give you the shot to counteract this would be more dangerous than the bite itself. He said it's been too long. But you know, outside of some swelling, a couple of days I was fine. And right back to work. God took care of me. Man couldn't, but God did. This is a lesson we all have to learn. Sometimes it's a painful lesson. Sometimes it's hard. Most usually it's never fun. But I learned a whole lot from that. I learned a whole lot from that. It let me know when man can't, God can. And when man won't, God will. And when we live our life that way, even in rough times, we can still walk with joy, knowing we're not going through it by ourselves. God is there with us and giving us strength. Now, we found out that nothing happened to him. They figured he should have been dead. Now in their minds, he was a god. But here in verse 7, it says, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. Here this man had been snake bit. They thought he was going to die. Then they thought he was God. Now he's here, laying hands on a man and healing him. You see, this is why the church today needs to be following and working all in the same line, all working together, and all following the word of God. Verse 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. So why is it we're not seeing this healing going on today as we should be seeing it in our churches? Is because they are walking in unbelief and contrary to the word of Almighty God. And they don't have their faith in him and his word, and they are not walking in belief. Now, 10, who also honored us with many honors. When we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. They furnished everything now, and Paul is getting ready to leave. You see, Paul's still on his way to Rome to be brought before Augustus Caesar. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandra, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regrum. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Petula. Where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. You see, traveling back then wasn't done in a hurry. It took a long time to get anywhere. Now, they're traveling toward Rome, said. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apollon and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, Paul's feeling a little safer as far as the way things are going on his travel, because he's closer to Rome now. Here in 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now they're keeping Paul to himself, all except for the soldier to make sure he stays where he's supposed to stay. 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. He said, no, they would have let me go, but the Jews, no, But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained, in other words, he was forced, to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of, but I have nothing against my nation. But 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He said, because of Israel's hope, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a believer in following Jesus Christ, that's why he's bound. And it was. That's exactly why he was bound. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed us or spoke any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest as concerning this sect. We know that every word it is spoken against. You see, Christianity wasn't accepted even back in this early church age. They were talking about it. They were jailing them, killing them, and everything else then. And we got our day yet to come. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. He's teaching all day, every day, while he's waiting to come before the Caesar. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. We do know Isaiah prophesied about the Lord's coming, how he was to be born and everything, and about his life, and even his death. Now, 26. Saying, go unto the people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. Letting them know that there's going to be a lot of things they're not going to understand. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He's letting them know exactly what is wrong. And that's what we are to be doing today, is letting mankind today and those around us, those that we love, those that we come in contact with, because we are to love all those, regardless of who they are or what they've done. We don't like the wrong, no, and the sin, but we have to love that person and pray for that one, that they can turn, that they can find the Lord Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge. Think about that. But how many of us are really doing it? No, you can't hardly get people to come to church today. We've got too much to do. But very shortly, a lot of you that are hearing this message, or that will hear this message right now, and a few other men out there that are preaching this same thing, you're going to find yourself in some of these same situations. And you're going to wonder how you got there. And it's because you sat back, chose to walk the wrong way, and done nothing. Now, 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. The Jews wouldn't hear it. We know that. And that's why Paul was sent to the Gentiles, because the Jewish people didn't want to hear it. They're the ones that was causing all of this against Paul. It wasn't the Gentiles causing it. It was his own people, because they wanted to stay under the law, and they didn't believe in Jesus and following him. When they had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house and received all that came in unto him. He used his own house to get the message out of God to all that will hear, just as I'm doing right now. Because you that are on YouTube, that will catch this message on YouTube, you are seeing me in my home. I'll preach that way 2 years. We're going to end with this next verse. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You see, he wasn't letting any man stop him from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not at all. But what have we done now? What have we actually done in our lives? How many have we brought into the church? None. Or very few. And how many have we talked to, really, and really worked to try and get them into the church? Stay in God's word. You're going to find out how weak or how strong you do really stand. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word. Father, I thank you for YouTube and for Blog Talk Radio, for our phone situation, to where we can reach out as far as these internets will go. People we may never see, but we do love them, because you love them, Father. We love them. We want to see them find you and make a way for eternal life. Now, Father, I'm asking you to lay your healing hands on all that are listening that stand in need of a healing touch. Because, Father, what doctors, physicians cannot do, you can and will, because of your love for mankind. Help us all to walk in thy power, thy healing power, thy love, thy grace. Help us to walk in your glory. Father, thank you for making us your sons and accepting us into your family. Now, Father, for those that have been a part of this ministry, that's ever heard a word of it, be with them. Keep them listening, Father. Bring them in so we can grow. And put us, Lord, where you want us to be. Because, Father, everything is yours. It's not ours. We are yours. So use us, Father, your way, your will, and use us in great and mighty ways. Make of us, Father, what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Remember now, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, God willing, we can all be together again. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good night, all.